The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Please be seated.
As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered,
"Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made manifest through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is still day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world."
When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him,
"Go wash in the pool of Siloam,"
which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is." But others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said,
"I am."
So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He replied,
"The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see."
And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said,
"I don't know."
They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on the Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them,
"He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see."
So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him, since he opened your eyes?" He said,
"He is a prophet."
Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight, until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How does he see now?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age. Question him." So a second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied,
"If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind, and now I see."
So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them,
"I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?"
They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered and said to them,
"This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to them. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything.
They answered him and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and are you trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said,
"Do you believe in the Son of Man?"
He answered and said,
"Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?"
Jesus said to him,
"You have seen him, the one with whom you are now present."
He said,
"I do believe, Lord."
And he worshiped him. Then Jesus said,
"I came into the world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do not see, those who do see, might become blind."
Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not also blind, are we?" Jesus said to them,
"You would have no sin, but now you are saying we see, and so your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This Gospel reading appears only in the Gospel of John. And it's one of the seven signs. We've talked about that before. In the Gospel of John, there are seven signs, which means we must concentrate on the sign and not be anchored merely into the story. The seven signs in John's Gospel are all different. Remember, the first sign was in Cana, the wine made from water. Water into wine, first sign. Second sign, they're different. Second sign was Jesus heals the son, the child of a Gentile. And the third sign is a man in Jerusalem who is sick for 28 years, and Jesus heals him. And then we have the feeding of the multitude. And then we have the calming of the sea. And then we're up to this sign, which is number 6. And next Sunday's Gospel, which is the raising of Lazarus, will be the 7th sign. And these signs are very important. They're the core teaching in the Gospel of John. So let me look at the sign of the man born blind. Jesus sees him. Oh, that's important. And watch how this man grows in his faith. Who is he? Well, he's a man that anointed me. The second time he's asked, "Who is this man who healed you?" He said, "He's a prophet." And thirdly, he says, "He is the one we expected. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ." So Jesus heals him not just of his physical sight. He heals him spiritually. He enlightens him, gives him a new life spiritually. When we look at this story of the man born blind, it's important that we understand that he is not the story. He is not the teaching of this event. He is merely the occasion teaching us about blindness. And the story is anchored around the man born blind, but he's not the teaching of the story. The story has to do with blindness which is not admitted, a blindness which is not recognized. This man knew he was blind, so he begins his spiritual journey in his blindness. The journey must begin when we're vulnerable, when we're empty, when we're broken, when we're blind. That must be the beginning of the spiritual journey. The blindness, which is emphasized in this story, is the blindness of the religious authorities. And if you read the story carefully, you'll find the core teaching is the blindness of religious leaders. In Mark chapter 1, in the beginning of Mark's gospel, when Jesus begins to announce his mission, he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And we've discussed before, repent is not a good translation of metanoia. Metanoia comes from two Greek words, meta, which means above or beyond, and nous, which is mind. Technically speaking, it means change your mind, but it's more than that. Meta means above. So elevate your mind. Lift your mind to a higher place. Enter into a higher level of your thinking, your understanding, and your awareness. That's what Jesus says. Only then will you understand that the kingdom of God is at hand. And therefore, what's emphasized here is the blindness of religious leaders. It's the blindness of certainty. It's the blindness of legalism, the blindness of rigorous judgment, which rejects people and separates people, sends people away. It's a blindness which is not known and therefore will not be healed. It's a blindness of oppression. It's a blindness in which we cannot see, not with our eyes, we cannot see with our person. We can't feel. We're disconnected. This is a blindness spoken about in this teaching about the sign. And it's a blindness which belongs to us. The gospel doesn't teach us about the other person's blindness. The gospel teaches us about our own blindness. Our old sense of arrogance, certainty, judgment of other people. The blindness of presumption, that I'm better, more knowledgeable, more elevated, more privileged than another. It's a blindness that doesn't see humanity, in which I don't accept my own humanity. That's a blindness spoken about in this gospel reading. The spiritual journey has to begin in a place of darkness. In the exercises of Ignatius, he begins by saying, look deep inside yourself and find your darkness, and out of your darkness, your journey to a new place begins. If you read Dante's Divine Comedy in the year 1400, he's in midlife and he begins the second journey of his life. But he begins it by walking into a darkened forest. He goes into a place of darkness. That must be the beginning of the spiritual journey. Until we get to that place where we discover our emptiness, our poverty, our need for others, our need for forgiveness, our dependence on others, until we get to that place, we're blind. We can't see how we need the forgiveness of others. We can't see how much we depend on others. We're arrogant. We're independent. We think we have all the answers, whether it's in church or in any relationships. That's a blindness. And in that blindness, if we see it and we know it and we accept it, now the spiritual journey begins. So I'm kind of trying to keep this homily brief because we have a ceremony coming up. But here's an exercise that I have engaged and I still do occasionally. to begin to look at myself and see the spiritual journey into which the Spirit calls me in my life. And here is the exercise that you might want to engage in order to touch the center and the teaching of this gospel reading. By yourself, someday, stand before the mirror and pause now in a pensive way. Look at your face, look at your eyes. Be reflective. See your inner person. See your failures. Acknowledge your sins. You see it in your face. You will see it in your eyes. Spend some time looking at your face and looking at your eyes. See how much you depend on other people. See how much you need to give forgiveness to others as well as asking for forgiveness. See the wounds which you carry, your discouragement, sometimes your confusion. Look deeply. See the fullness of your humanity. And when you have finished this part of the exercise, walk by yourself, be by yourself, be reflective. Be conscious of God's infinite love for you, the healing love of Jesus Christ, the welcoming love of Jesus Christ, the affirming love of Jesus Christ, and how you are loved in the fullness of your humanity, not in your perfection, not because you earned it, not because you merited anything, just in your humanity, in the foolishness and the emptiness and the poverty of who you are. Get this sense of God's infinite love for you. This can only happen when you overcome your blindness. And now, when you finish this exercise, now you can see. Only now can you see. Now you see relationships. Now you see blessing in your life. Now you see healing. Now you can see the goodness of God in your life. But it has to begin with your poverty. It has to begin with your emptiness. If I'm full of myself and I think I have all the answers and I'm in charge of life, you will never, ever grow in the spiritual life. The man is healed of his blindness because he knew he was blind. The religious authorities then and even now, we don't know our blindness. We don't know our emptiness. We haven't seen our sin. We haven't looked inside ourselves. And therefore, there is always the temptation to make judgments, to be legalistic, to exclude people, to misunderstand the gift of being fully human. That's the teaching of this story. The blind man, he is just the occasion of the teaching. The teaching is about blindness. Not the blindness of the man born blind, and not the blindness of the religious authorities. It's my blindness. It's that which belongs to each and every one of us. That's the teaching of this parable. So catch it in a moment of quiet, of aloneness. Look at your life. Accept your failings. Understand your infirmities. Celebrate your limitations. Count your blessings. And only then Can you see? And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. So let Jesus be the light of your world, the healing light, the one who touches you when you know that you are blind.